podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Patrick Carnes was a fiercely independent and kind grandfatherly figure in 2011. Patrick was retired, widowed, and contemplating moving from his home in Reno, Nevada, all the way across the country to Toledo, Ohio, where he could be closer to his family. In April of 2011, he took a road trip to Toledo, specifically to check out some retirement facilities. As usual, his dog Lucky was with him everywhere he went. He planned out his road trip, and he hoped to be back in Reno on April 14th. On April 13th, 2011, Patrick was right on schedule. He had made it to Nevada. Around 9 o'clock p.m., Patrick would be pulled over on Interstate 80 near Wells, Nevada, for failing to move over for a stopped truck. He told the officer that he was heading to Elko, where he was going to get some sleep. In fact, he specifically told the officer he was following the truck ahead of him because the trucker was also going to Elko. The officer let Patrick go with a warning and advised him to be sure he moved over for stopped vehicles. The next morning, around 6 o'clock a.m., an off-duty police dispatcher was heading to work. She noticed a car off the highway, and believing that there might have been some type of car accident, she called it into the sheriff's department. The car was Patrick's, but there was no sign of him or his dog Lucky anywhere. The scene was bizarre. It didn't appear to actually be a car accident when he went up and investigated, but the car was pulled quite a bit off the road into the desert. There were quite a few oddities, leaving authorities and family to wonder. What happened to Patrick Carnes and his dog Lucky out there? And what went wrong? And most importantly, where are Patrick Carnes and his dog Lucky? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. I came across Patrick's story myself a few years back after seeing a billboard while traveling. It has always baffled me. The story just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense in some parts. Of course, thank you so much for listening to Patrick's story today and for helping us spread awareness of these unsolved cases. As always, all of our social media links and contact information can be found in the show notes. Patrick Francis Carnes was born on January 30th, 1925 in Cleveland, Ohio. Patrick, who often went by Pat to family and friends, would grow up in the Cleveland area with five sisters and one brother. In 1942, Pat joined the U.S. Navy. He was honorably discharged for the first time in 1946, and then after being recalled the next year, he would be discharged honorably once again in 1949. This was also the year he would marry the love of his life, Margaret. Pat and Margaret would raise their children near Santa Monica, California. They had three sons and one daughter. In 1981, Pat retired, and he and Margaret decided they needed a change of scenery. They wanted to do something different. And they left their home in Santa Monica and relocated to Reno, Nevada. Sadly, Margaret passed away in 2004, and after 55 years of marriage, Pat became a widow. But Pat was still healthy and decided that he would try his best to enjoy the rest of his life as happily as he could. He adopted a mixed breed dog he named Lucky, and Lucky became Pat's best friend and went everywhere with him. Lucky was a dog that people would notice also. He was big. He was over 100 pounds and was said to be an Akita mix. In 2011, Pat was 86 years old now. and he began to feel it was time to look into some retirement homes. He also thought it might be a good idea to move to Toledo, Ohio to be closer to family. In April, Pat took a road trip with Lucky and he drove from Reno, Nevada to Toledo, Ohio. The goal was to spend some time looking at some retirement homes and to also visit with family. Pat was then going to return home to Reno, think over his options before making a decision. He left Ohio after that trip, and with Lucky by his side, he began his journey back to Nevada. The disappearance. Pat was driving west on Interstate 80 the evening of April 13th, 2011. He was coming up to mile marker 358 near Wells, Nevada, when he passed by a Nevada state trooper who had a truck pulled over on the side of the road. Pat didn't slow down, nor did he move over, so the trooper would jump in his car, catch up to Pat, and pull Pat over. Pat was unaware of the law that required him to move over or slow down for stopped vehicles, and he told the officer this. Interestingly, Pat made a few notable comments to the officer also, which was caught on the officer's audio. First, Pat commented that he was following a truck because the truck was heading to Elko. Here is the actual audio clip of Pat talking to the trooper.
I'm only following him because he's going to Elko.
And Pat had decided to make it to Elko to get some sleep for the night. It was also noted on the trooper's dash cam that Pat was indeed following right behind a semi-truck. Pat made another comment as well. He said he wouldn't be driving at night anymore.
I'm never driving at night again.
The trooper believed Pat was fine. He seemed perfectly normal, perhaps just getting tired from the drive. But nothing raised any alarms for this trooper, so Pat was sent off with a warning. The next morning, around 6 o'clock a.m., an off-duty police dispatcher was driving to work when she noticed a vehicle off the road. This was an area in between Battle Mountain and Golconda, Nevada, specifically near what is called the Pumpernickel Valley. And even more specifically than that, the car was found off into the desert off of the on-ramp at exit 205. It was a ways off the road, and it was sitting in a way that she believed that there might have been an accident. She called it into the local sheriff's office to report it so someone could check it out, and an officer was dispatched right away to the scene. This was a very, very rural and desolate area, and the officer wondered at first if the car had been abandoned there on purpose, something they had seen in the desert occasionally. There were no signs of an accident, and there was one set of footprints walking away from the car. There was nobody in sight. The officer called in the license plate and learned that the Subaru Forester belonged to Patrick Carnes. They called the phone number listed for Pat, his apartment number, but no one answered. Pat didn't have a cell phone. Meanwhile, Pat's family was waiting to hear back from him to make sure that he made it back home safely. But they never received that call. Patrick Carnes and his dog Lucky had disappeared. The search. It took a few days for everyone to realize that there was a problem. Pat's family had been waiting days to hear from him, wondering if he took a detour to visit a friend or if he had other plans on the way home. Something that they hadn't really known about, something that he hadn't told them about. And it was his sister who actually really started to panic first. Now, around this same time, authorities in Humboldt County, where the car had been found, were also wondering why they hadn't been able to reach Pat and why the car was still there. They called Reno authorities and asked them if they could do a welfare check on Patrick Carnes. A couple of Pat's family members had also decided to drive over to Pat's place to check on him. Together, they all noticed that Pat had never made it back home after Ohio, and his family now learned his car was abandoned off the highway. So once authorities and family put two and two together, they realized Patrick was missing. So a search immediately began near the site where the car was found. Authorities were taking this very seriously, knowing it had now been 4 days since they initially found the car there. And Pat, at 86 years old, could be out in the Nevada desert and in need of help. The car was looked over, and it seemed that all of Pat's personal belongings were there, except maybe a wallet. There were no signs of an accident or foul play. And there was one set of footprints walking away from the car. I don't know if there were any dog prints found also. The car was also found to be in working order, but possibly stuck. It also had plenty of gas. So why was it off the road in the manner that it was? Interestingly, Pat was traveling home on the night of April 13th, and he was heading west. But the car was found off of the eastbound side, meaning that he was possibly heading back in the opposite direction. Did he miss an exit at some point and turn around? But that doesn't make any sense. He was 85 miles past Elko, where Pat had indicated he was planning on sleeping for a bit. Did he turn around and go back to Elko? But Pat was also only 4 hours from home. Why would he backtrack 85 miles just to get some sleep in Elko? The searches of the area turned up no signs of either Pat or Lucky. It was also learned that Pat had a mild leg injury, which caused him to walk with a limp. This further concerned everyone because if Pat had walked off into the desert, he couldn't have gotten too far. Authorities said that searches of the area were hindered a little bit by the rain, but still nothing was found out there. Law enforcement brought in tracker dogs, and they utilized air searches also. Still, no signs of Pat or Lucky. The investigation was also made difficult by the fact that Pat only used cash. He didn't have any credit cards, and he didn't have a cell phone. There was literally nothing to trace. Taking a look at Pat's timeline that night, we know that he had been pulled over by a police officer around 9 o'clock p.m., just outside of Wells, Nevada. This is verified by dashcam footage. Pat indicated to the officer that he was following a truck to Elko, where he planned to get some sleep. But why was he following a truck to Elko? By this statement, everyone had to wonder if Pat had been communicating with this trucker. How did he know this trucker was going to Elko? Perhaps they had stopped at the same gas station earlier and they had struck up a conversation. Authorities tried to enhance the footage of the dash cam, which did show this truck. But the quality was so poor, they were unable to make out any identifying factors. It is too grainy to read a license plate, and it's too dark and blurry to see any type of logo or writing on the trailer. Had Pat made it to Elko? Did he even stop at Elko? There were some traffic cams near the Elko exit, but those cameras were not working that night, adding to the frustration of everyone involved in searching for Pat. Humboldt County, Nevada. Pat's Subaru Forester was found in Humboldt County, just inside the county limits, actually. This area is desolate and vast, and there just isn't much of anything around. Humboldt County is in the northern part of the state of Nevada, just northeast of Reno, Nevada, where Pat lived in 2011, and where he was heading back to on April 13th. The car was found off of Interstate 80, which would be the main highway running through that area. Pat's route home would only take him through the small southern corner of Humboldt County. He was just a few hours away from Reno, but the way his car was found, he was heading in the opposite direction. The car was also found more than a two-hour drive away from where he was pulled over, near Wells, and another hour away from where he told the state trooper he was going to stop for the night, in Elko. This is a divided highway with a median in the middle, and I've thoroughly walked this road via Google Maps, Street View, and as far as you can see, it's just desert, with a few mountains far off in the distance. There is nothing around. At night, this area would be completely pitch black, with only moonlight and passing cars lighting up the area. It's also said that while this is a main highway, nighttime traffic is minimal, usually just the occasional trucker here and there. The population of the entire county is just over 17,000 residents, and this covers an area of over 100,000 acres. The area of Humboldt County, where his car was found, was just about 200 miles from Reno, where Pat lived. He had driven the entire way from Ohio without incident. But something happened to Pat between the hours of 9 p.m. on April 13th and 6 a.m. on April 14th. Authorities did come out and state that they believed it was highly likely that the car was purposefully dumped there, and possibly not even by Pat. The reason for this belief? They simply found no signs of Pat or Lucky, and they didn't believe that he could get far away from the car, especially with a leg injury. This leads to some interesting theories about what may have happened out there in the Nevada desert. Theories and possibilities. First, did Pat drive off the road on purpose and leave his car there, perhaps for Lucky to take a bathroom break or even himself? But why did he park it the way that he did? Did he lose control? Did the car get stuck there? Why not just pull over? I think the most telling question I have about this theory is the fact that the car was found on the wrong side of the road. Something was already wrong before this car is abandoned here. It was heading in the opposite direction that Pat should have been driving in. It's also a dramatic way to drive off the road instead of just pulling over to the side. And it was nighttime, and the car would end up there between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. There would have been very, very little traffic on that road. Second, did Pat have a medical episode causing him to drive the car to that spot and then walk away from it? But where did he go? And now, have there been no signs of Pat or Lucky despite the search effort to find him? There's also the theory that Pat ran into foul play somewhere. Perhaps he was robbed and the perpetrator dumped his car in that location, not Pat. That still leaves no answers as to where Pat may be. And in fact, if that is indeed what happened, he could be anywhere. This theory also led authorities down another route. Could there be a serial killer? A truck driver serial killer? The FBI had started a task force to look into this very possibility just a few years earlier. Long-distance truck drivers have the ability to move quietly through the entire country without much of a second look from anyone. They often drive at night, and they often drive through rural and empty areas. They pass through mountains, forests, by lakes and rivers, pretty much every landscape our country has to offer. This FBI task force was named the Highway Serial Killings Initiative, and through the work of this task force, they identified 200 possible victims, and they solved 70 crimes that were indeed related to truck drivers. There were two main reasons detectives thought this was a possibility in the case of Patrick Carnes. First, he had told an officer he was specifically following a truck to Elko, and then he vanished. Second is the case of Judith Casita. Judith Casita was a 62-year-old woman in 2006. On Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2006, Judith and her husband had an argument, and Judith decided she was leaving. Neighbors saw her get into her truck and drive away, and she was later seen at a McDonald's by other witnesses. Both of these times, she was seen alone. She was driving a white 1991 Mazda pickup truck. On March 5th, 2006, just a few weeks later, her truck was found abandoned near the Pumpernickel Valley exit ramp off of Interstate 80. Yes, the same exit where Patrick Carnes' car was found. And in fact, it was found in the same place. There was no sign of Judith anywhere. Patrick's car would be found there 5 years later. Coincidence? Some think so. But others think it's bizarre that two cars were found abandoned in the same exact place and both drivers of these vehicles vanished into thin air. To this day, Judith Casita remains a missing person. So what do you think happened to Patrick Carnes? Do you think his case and the case of Judith Casita are related? Did Patrick meet with foul play, or did he become lost in the desert? Patrick was declared legally deceased in April of 2014. Local detectives still work the case, and they still discuss this case often. Many will say it's the case that haunts them every day. Pat's family also continues to search for clues as to his whereabouts through billboards and flyers that they have posted up all over the country, specifically at truck stops. And the trucker whom Pat was following might have been innocently helping an elderly man find his way to Elko. And if so, authorities would still like to speak with him. Patrick Carnes is described as a Caucasian man standing 5'11" tall, and weighing around 180 pounds when he was last seen in April of 2011. He has gray hair and he wears glasses. He also walked with a slight limp. Pat was wearing a tan jacket, a blue plaid shirt, tan or beige pants, tan canvas shoes, and a Toledo Mudhens baseball cap. He was traveling with his loyal companion, Lucky, a 100-pound mixed breed dog. Anyone with any information is asked to contact the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office at 775-623-6419. Thank you for listening to Patrick's story today. His family has been waiting since 2011 for answers on what happened to their father, their grandfather, their brother, and their friend. Patrick, a military veteran, deserves to be brought home. Please continue to share his story any way that you can. Someone out there might just have the missing piece of information to solve this case. Perhaps somebody else traveling along that same stretch of road back in 2011 saw something that could help solve this mystery. We have been able to post a few update episodes lately, most recently in the case of Jalen Griffin and David Schultz. I am truly hoping to have more updates soon, as we hope to have more missing persons found. If you've made it this far, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform. This does help our stories reach more people. You can also find the Where Are They podcast on Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes, or you can search for the Where Are They podcast. Let's get these names and these faces out there. Let's make sure they are not forgotten about. Keep sharing. If you are looking for more information, past episodes, or additional missing person stories, you can find all of that on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. You can also submit case suggestions on the website or by emailing me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Thank you again for tuning in to Patrick's story today. I truly do hope one day we know what happened to Patrick and Lucky. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.